الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه، صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, from time to time, as we are aware, we speak about great personalities of the past, and the intention is that we draw inspiration and lessons from those great personalities. And today, inshallah, I would like to start off speaking about one such great personality, and that is Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. A remarkable human being in every sense of the word, and also together with that, a person who for some reason or the other has also been the target of criticism from historians who do not know the value of the ashab and the companions of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us look at some aspects with regard to the life of Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was born 6 years prior to the year of the elephants. Bearing in mind that the Arabs of that time did not have a specific calendar, and they used to mark the dates by certain events. And since the incident of Abraha trying to destroy the Kaaba was a significant event, people used to keep the events and mark the dates of birth, etc., by that particular event. So it is said Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was born 6 years prior to that, 5 or 6 years, which makes him 5 or 6 years younger than our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also in some way related to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his forefather in the 5th generation meets up with the grandfather of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from the influential Bani Umayyah clan of the Quraysh. And Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, from the very inception, used to be a man of dignity and a man of great moral conduct. It is said that even before Islam, he stayed away from idol worshipping, which was the norm in the time of Jahiliyyah. He stayed away from immorality and zina, and he stayed away from drinking alcohol, although the people of the time used to indulge in it in great relish and great number. And he used to say that it is and it destroys the reasoning of people, and therefore people should stay away from it. At the age of 34, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam. And the reason and the background behind him accepting Islam was just before the bi'athat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had gone to Syria for a trade journey between the places of Ma'an and Zarqa, which is in present-day Jordan. While the trade delegation was sleeping, they overheard an unseen voice saying, "O people of Makkah, what are you doing here when Ahmad has made his appearance in Makkah Mukarramah? What are you doing here when Ahmad, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka bi'asat shuru ho gaya, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka nubuwat shuru ho gaya?" So he had that in mind when he came back to Makkah. Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time, the first 3 years of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, the preaching towards Islam was done in secret. So Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu approached Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who, keeping in mind what he had seen in the journey, he readily accepted Islam. And it is said that he was amongst the first few people. Some narrations make he was the 4th or the 5th person to accept Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in the ayat which I have recited in the khutbah, Allah ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ. Those who are in the vanguard, who are in the forefront, those who accepted Islam in the initial stages, Allah is happy with them, they are happy with Allah. Meaning, their happiness is for eternity. not for a short period of time. It is for eternity. And anyone who casts doubts of Allah Ta'ala not being happy with them goes against Quranic precepts and goes against the Quranic ayats. Nevertheless, he was also subject to persecution the way it was the norm for the people who first accepted Islam. He had an influential uncle who used to persecute Usman Ghani. But of course, Islam was too dear to them and they remained steadfast upon Islam. At that time, an incident happened that was also to work in the favor of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Lahab, given his hostility towards Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood, after the revelation of Surah Lahab, Abu Lahab told his two sons, who were married to the daughters of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to divorce the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters. And one narration made, even before consummation, they divorced the two daughters of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala immediately went to propose to Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this was the daughter of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the proposal. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala got married to Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this was a remarkable couple. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say they were both attractive. And he said that the most attractive couple that you could wish to see was Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. One day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by when Hazrat Ruqayya was combing the hair of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his daughter that, "Oh my daughter, look after your husband. He is the closest to me in terms of his conduct. He is the closest to me in terms of his conduct." Obviously we know that Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away at the time of the Battle of Badr, which I will go on to make mention. And after the Battle of Badr, when he was, you know, very sad about this aspect that he was related to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed on, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got him married to the other daughter, Hazrat Ummi Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that is why Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known as Dhin Nurain, the possessor of two lights. He is the one who got married to the two daughters of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once it is said that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by the second daughter, Ummi Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he asked her, "How did you find your husband?" And she replied, "I have the best of husbands." One wonders if we have to make a survey with regard to what the wives will think about us. I don't want to go into that. But I mean, look at that particular. "I have the best of husbands. I have no complaint with regard to him." And when Ummi Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any daughters that were unmarried. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If I had a third daughter, I would also have got her married to Usman Ghani." I mean, what a remarkable attribute to the son-in-law. I don't know if the father-in-laws of today have such a great regard for their son-in-laws. But be as it may, that is why he's known as Dhin Nurain. He was amongst the first people to migrate to Abyssinia because of the persecution of the people of Makkah. And he went with his family. And Nabi Karim SAW had said, "Inna Uthman, awwalu man hajra ila Allah bi ahlihi ba'da Lutin." Uthman is the first person after Lut alayhi salatu wa salam to migrate with his family for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the first person after Lut alayhi salatu wa salam to migrate with his family. There were other people who migrated individually. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrated with his family. Then he migrated to Abyssinia, got the news that the persecution has stopped, came back, then back again to migrate towards Madinah Munawwara. He is known as Dhin Nurain, and he is also known as Dhul Hijratain, the person who migrated twice for the sake of Allah, not only once. Migrated to Abyssinia, then came back to Makkah, and migrated again to Madinah Munawwara. While he was in Madinah Munawwara, very close to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time of the Battle of Badr, we all know that initially the Muslims had to intercept a trade caravan of the people of Makkah. So Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu got ready. But his wife, the daughter of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was not well. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You go and look after your wife." Although this is a very great journey. It's a very great expedition. But you, at this particular stage, your wife is not well. Go and look after your wife. Or your wife. It does say that sometimes when people consider going out for different reasons, and amongst them sometimes it might also be for dini reasons, the health of the family should also be taken into consideration. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that although I know that you want to go out, but your wife is not well, go and look after your wife. And it so happened that while Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Badr, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. And of course it is said in the books that she passed away, you know, longing to see her father. But this was the sacrifice of Islam. That sometimes, even while you had your own children, and you had your own family, but the deen of Islam was such that for the sake of that deen, sacrifices had to be made. And when the people had just finished burying Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were returning from the Qabristan, when the first person came with the news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Muslims victory in the Battle of Badr. A remarkable incident that took place was at the time of Bayt Ridwan, at the time of Hudaybiyah. Brothers, this was a very amazing incident. How, and shows Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to send an envoy to the people of Makkah, to say that we have not come for war, we have come for peace. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to send Umar. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, I will go if it's your command. But the people of Makkah won't be able to bear me. Send Usman, they love Usman. So Usman radiallahu ta'ala went, why do they love him? Because of his generosity and his good conduct. It is said, even before Islam, the mothers of Quraysh used to lull their babies to sleep. Saying, Oh my child, go and sleep. I love you as much as the Quraysh love Usman al-Ghani. I love you as much as the Quraysh love Usman al-Ghani. Why? Because of conduct and generosity. You see, these two qualities bring and attract people towards you. And we don't do it because of that. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, a generous person is close to Allah and close to people and far from the fire of Jahannam. And a miserly person is far from Allah, far from human beings, and close to the fire of Jahannam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an ignorant, generous person is more beloved to Allah than a miser who is a worshipper. Let me repeat that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, an ignorant person who is generous, sakhi ho, lekin alim na ho, jahil ho, lekin Allah ta'ala ke nazdeek bahut hi zyada mahboob. He is more beloved to Allah than a person who makes ibadat, but he's a miser. And this is a hadith in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Usman al-Ghani. Usman al-Ghani went for the sake of Umrah. And when he went for the sake of Umrah, he didn't go for the sake of Umrah, he went with this message that we have come for the sake of peace. He gave the reasons for the peace, we're not prepared to listen. We won't allow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come for Umrah and his companions. If you want, you can go and make Umrah. If you want, you can make Umrah. Usman said, how can I make Umrah? Look at that love. How can I make Umrah without Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I won't make Umrah. In the meanwhile, the news comes to the people who are in Hudaybiyah that they had killed Usman or they had kept him, you know, in captivity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes so disturbed by this that he calls all the Sahaba and pledge allegiance of death on their hands. They pledge allegiance of death. We will fight for the sake of death. Till death. For the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is known as Bayt Ridwan. The pledge which got the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people who had taken part in this pledge, Antum khayru ahli al-ard. You are the best people of humanity. You are the best people of humanity. And then when the time came to pledge allegiance of Usman radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took one of his hands and placed it on the other hand and said, this pledge is on behalf of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. This pledge is on behalf of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Such was the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with regard to him. Inshallah, we will go on to make mention with regard to many of his, you know, his life, especially towards the time when he was a Khalifa, and then there's various allegations, and we will deal with it in the coming weeks. But there are one or two very important, you know, of his qualities that I would like to highlight. Usman was known for his generosity. That is why he's known as Ghani. You know, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they migrated to Madinah Munawwara, you know, they did not have sweet water. So at that time, there was two riwayats that come. One riwayat said that there was a person from the Bani, I think it was Bani Ghatfan, or one of the tribes, who had a well of sweet water. And he used to sell water, sweet water, at bucketful. But it used to be very expensive for the people. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him once and said, why don't you give over this wealth, this well, in lieu of a spring in Jannah? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, it is my only means of income, I can't do so. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. Usman Ghani went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, if I buy it, will I get the same reward? If I buy it, will I get the same reward? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, yes. He purchased the well for 35,000 dirhams. And one riwayat said he purchased it from a, you know, maybe it might be another well. He purchased from a Jewish person for 25,000 dirhams. And he made it over to the Muslims. When there was an aspect with regard to, you know, extending the Madinah Munawwara, to extending the Masjid of Nabawi, again, Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was the one who purchased that land and made it available for our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to extend the Masjid of Nabawi. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever buys this land, Allah ta'ala guarantees him Jannah. The same Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of the Battle of Tabuk, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling for people to give, because no, they didn't have any wealth at that time. Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala gave 940 camels, 60 horses, and 10,000 gold coins for the sake of this army. Today we give 5,000 rand to the masjid and we feel we have done Islam a favor. 940 camels, 60 horses, 10,000 gold coins. Sahaba say, they saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam catching those gold coins and saying, Ma darra Uthman ma amila ba'd al-yawm. Nothing will harm Usman after such a great act of generosity. Nothing will harm Usman after this particular day. Such generosity. And not only in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, it so happened that there was drought. So there was no one at a time of drought, you know, food becomes very valuable. So at that particular time, people went to Usman Ghani. He was the only one who had, you know, food. So it became extremely expensive, extremely valuable. So people went to Usman, the traders, give us your wealth. You know, wholesale it to us. We will go and retail it. And Usman Ghani came and met the traders of Medina and said, how much are you prepared to give me? Some said, we will give you double the amount. Sometimes you said three times the amount. He came out to four times the amount. Usman Ghani said, I'm not prepared to sell. They said, oh Usman, we are the only people who will buy. What do you mean you're not going to sell? Who are you going to sell it to? Usman said, are you going to give it to me 10 times the amount? He said, no, that much we don't have capacity. He said, go. I have given all of that in charity. Because Allah Ta'ala says, Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Whoever does one righteous deed, Allah Ta'ala multiplies it 10 times. I have given all of this to the poor of Medina at the time of drought, at the time of difficulty. And he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. The same night. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rushing somewhere. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Ya Rasulullah, I would like to meet with you. I would like to speak with you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm in a hurry. Because of Usman's generosity, Allah Ta'ala has made his nikah with one of the hoors of Jannah, and I'm rushing for that nikah. This was Usman Ghani, brothers. And of course, this was not only the aspect with regard to his generosity, his modesty, and of course his love for the Quran. We will go on making mention. But I would like to just conclude with one remarkable statement of Usman Ghani. He was very close to the Holy Quran. He used to read Quran, you know, very, very often. It is said that he said, if hearts are pure, they would not find, they will never be satiated with the Holy Quran. If your heart is pure, you will never find, you know, you will never be satiated with the Holy Quran. You will always want to read more and more Quran if your heart is pure. And it is said about Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala that because of his love for the Quran, towards the end of his life, his Quran was completely, you know, old. The pages were torn because of excessive reading. And how Allah Ta'ala works, that because of his love for the Holy Quran, when he was martyred, he was reading the Holy Quran, and his blood fell upon the ayat, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient for you. فَسَيَكْفِي. That Quran is found in various museums of the world up to this day, where you see the portions of his blood upon that Holy Quran. And I will conclude with this one statement of Usman Ghani, which was such a remarkable statement. He says, four things are outwardly virtuous, but in reality they are obligations. Four things are outwardly virtuous, but in reality they are obligations. He says, mixing with righteous people, with pious people is a virtue, but in reality to follow them is an obligation. See, things outwardly seems virtuous, but in reality they are obligation. So he says, mixing with pious people is a virtue, but to follow them is an obligation. Reading the Quran is a virtue, but acting upon it is an obligation. The third thing he says, visiting the graveyard to visit the sick is a virtue, but to prepare yourself for death after that virtue is an obligation. He says, visiting the sick is a virtue, but reminding themselves that they must have their financial dealings correct is an obligation. Subhanallah, what a remarkable statement. Four things seems outwardly virtuous, but in reality they are obligations. Let me repeat it and conclude. Mixing with righteous people is a virtue, but to follow them is an obligation. Reading the Holy Quran is a virtue, but to act upon the Holy Quran is an obligation. Visiting the Qabristan is a virtue, but preparing yourself for death after that is an obligation. Visiting the sick people is a virtue, but reminding themselves to leave their matters in terms of their financial dealings correct is an obligation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you a tawfiq of understanding and drawing inspiration from the life of such great people.